What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any questions. Words by friends in Christ taken from the proper last gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's the Feast of the Sorrowful Mother. It takes precedence over the normal Sunday Mass, and this is always a sign from the Church that she wants us to contemplate and to think about a particular mystery. Now, when it comes to the Feast of the Sorrowful Mother, perhaps we fixate on the idea of sorrow and we associate it with sentiment or feelings. Now, it is true that Our Lady does have a cause for such grief. And this is the sins of all of us, her children. But the greatest of these sins, the one which gives her the most sorrow, is infidelity, the lack of faith. One of the main errors of the modern age is this, is to reduce faith to nothing but emotion, nothing but personal feeling, nothing but sentiment. How often do you hear someone who is talking about religion say, well, I feel this is what God wants for me? This is not only something that's part of popular culture and popular misconceptions, but it is one of the errors at the root of the modernist heresy. This idea that faith starts out in the interior as a religious sentiment in different individuals, and then eventually it coalesces and you get religion. The Catholic understanding of faith, however, is objective. It's not subjective. Faith is a virtue by which we believe the truths revealed by God, not because of intrinsic evidence, but because of his authority proposing them through the Church. So it comes from God. It comes from outside. Beside the assent of the mind or intellect to truth, our will, one of the other upper faculties of the soul, compels our intellect, compels our mind to assent to the things God expects us to believe in for reasons other than objective evidence. It goes back to God's authority. Now, a lack of this virtue, of turning real faith into mere personal sentiment, by turning real faith into mere personal sentiment, this is Mary's greatest sorrow. We see today the liturgical images of the swords in the heart of Blessed Mother, and perhaps the sharpest sword is this, that of infidelity. In the proper last gospel for today's Mass, we will hear the Pharisees tempting Christ with questions. They hope to catch him out. Now, when we are asked questions about the faith, to answer them properly, we have to know what the criteria are for belief, how to separate the true from the false in religion. This has to be the starting point. How do I know what God expects me to believe? That's the $64,000 question, for which most people have the wrong answer. We'll give you three examples today. First of all, in Protestantism, this past Monday, I was at the Kenwood Town Center driving my car and looking for a parking place, and in the same aisle there was a truck pulling a large sign, "Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus." Well, sure enough, I saw out of the corner of my eye the guy driving the truck getting out to go in, and he saw me, and he comes to walk alongside me. I guess it was too good to resist. So I say, "Well, hello, you've got quite a good message there, don't you?" His response to that greeting was, "Do you know what imputed righteousness is?" I said, "Oh, you mean Luther's idea that human nature is like a pile of stinking manure, and that God's grace was like nothing more than snow covering the steaming manure. Sure, I know what imputed righteousness is." I guess it wasn't the answer he really expected. So he quickly changed the subject to ask me if I believed what Jesus said in John 3:16. And I said, "Of course, he's one of our guys. He founded the Catholic Church. And he did this so we could explain his teachings. He didn't tell the apostles, hand out Bibles to people, and tell them to figure out the message on your own. He founded a church and gave it authority to teach. That's how early Christians learned what to believe and learned how to get to heaven. They listened to the authority of the church." Well, naturally, he came back with more Bible verses, and I said, "Wait a minute with the numbers, I'm not very good at math. Here's the idea. How do you know that what those numbers represent, the New Testament, is really the Word of God? How do you know that?" So he says, "Don't you believe, et cetera, that it's the Word of God?" I said, "Wait a minute. Answer the question. How do you know?" And of course, when you impress someone like this, they have absolutely no idea. So I said, "I'll tell you, of course, that our Lord worked miracles to show that his message was true. And he founded a church to preach his message. That's us. We're the Catholic Church. There was no one else around in those days." In the fourth century, a council of Catholic bishops under the Pope decided what books belonged in the New Testament that you quote, and what books that were floating around didn't belong in the New Testament. So the key issue in religion is, how do you know what God expects you to believe, how to tell the truth from the false? You can't just say the Bible does it, because the Bible didn't exist for 350 years. So the answer is that the only thing to tell you what to believe is the authority of the church. So naturally, he kept on pushing the numbers, etc. But I got to my place in Kenwood Town Center, and I said, "Look, I have one bit of advice to you, one final word. Just listen to this, that to understand history is to become a Catholic. And that's the whole story." The underlying idea that I was trying to get across to him is that you have to follow the right criteria when it comes to deciding what is true and what is false in religion. I can give another example about the criteria. Other traditional Catholics, what I call the R&R version of traditionalists, the recognize and resist traditionalists, like the Pius X Society and many others, they claim to recognize, that's the first R, the Vatican II popes, and they refer to them as such and put their names in the canon and the pictures of these guys in churches. But at the same time, there's the other R, where they say they resist the Vatican II popes. So in the practical order, they're not subject to him. They ignore the teachings of the post-Vatican II popes, when they say that they're not Catholic. Various justifications have been attempted for this, but none of them follow the correct criteria of Catholic theology and of church law. And that is this, that if there is a Roman pontiff, to get to heaven, it is necessary to be subject to him. We did not dream this up. We say the Vacantists did not dream this up. Those of you who are old enough to have been raised in the Catholic faith before Vatican II knew that you were expected to be subject to the Roman pontiff, that you listened to what he said, and you did what he told you, because he was the representative of Christ on earth. And you also knew that the authority of the church, exercised by a true pope, gave you what was good. It couldn't give you an evil law. Say, it couldn't give you an evil new mass, or it couldn't give you a false doctrine. It's a very simple principle. So, if you're logical, once you recognize that the Novus Ordo institution teaches error and imposes, say, an evil law, like the new mass, you have to conclude that the post-Vatican II popes are true popes, because the church doesn't give you error, and the church doesn't give you evil. If you come to another conclusion and say, oh, well, maybe she does, but we don't have to listen to it, you're not following the criteria for belief that our Lord and his church laid down. Now, that's our second example. A third example is Francis I, Bergoglio, the current man in a white cassock occupying St. Peter's Basilica. So he does so many crazy things, it's hard for me to keep track of them. I have a whole area in my browser that is dedicated to bookmarks just to track the crazy things he does. And once he started doing all these crazy things, I thought I better sort them by date because I think there's going to be a lot. And so there's a whole list like this already, and he's only been at it 6 months. Okay, the latest thing, which you may have read about this past week, is the public letter that he wrote to an Italian newspaper. There is an atheist who had asked him a number of questions, and one of them was, well, in your understanding, can atheists like me go to heaven? Now, Bergoglio's, Francis's, response was, yes, atheists can go to heaven if they listen to and obey their consciences in deciding what is good or what is evil. Now, doesn't there sound like there's a little bit something wrong with that? An atheist. How could you say such a thing? Well, because for Francis, faith is not adherence to revealed truths because of the authority of God proposing them through the church, but what he calls the personal experience of Jesus. This is what he talks about all the time. This is what he talks about all the time. So, if an atheist has a different personal experience and it works for him, and he obeys his conscience, well, why can't he go to heaven too? Well, there's a slight problem. As St. Paul says, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And he who does not believe is condemned. So, without at least the belief that there is a God, and that this God rewards good and punishes evil, you can't get into heaven. You don't even have the rudiments of faith. So it's a pronouncement that's heresy. It's also ridiculous. It exposes the church to ridicule. There was a comedian, apparently, who had the prelate I call the bad Dolan, who is the Cardinal Archbishop of New York as opposed to the good Dolan. The bad Dolan, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, appeared on a comedy show appropriately enough, and was interviewed. And the guy who interviewed him is actually a practicing Novus Ordo Catholic and is a comedian and actually knows quite a bit about the Catholic faith. So he asked the cardinal, you know, he said, I think the problem with the new pope is that he's soft on sin. He said the other day that atheists can go to heaven. If atheists can go to heaven, what am I doing going to Mass every Sunday? I could get an extra 9 holes of golf in. Not a bad point, showing how ridiculous the idea is. But underneath it all is the wrong principle for separating true from false in matters of religion. You end up with faith as a personal experience rather than an assent to objective truths because of the authority of God revealing. Thus are three examples. There are lots of ideas about what God requires of us. Even if you don't think you know an awful lot about your Catholic faith or that you couldn't defend it very well if you were challenged or attacked, there are three things to remember. First of all, in any conflict or dispute over a doctrinal issue, what God asks you to believe to get to heaven, the first question, the first criteria must be used. The first is, what criteria must be used to separate the true from the false? Those who get that wrong invariably end up with a wrong answer. Second point, true faith is not a personal sentiment or feeling. It is a virtue which engages our intellect and our will because of God's authority. It's not just little me. Third, any objection to the Catholic faith anyone can come up with has already been answered. 2,000 years worth of saints, of popes, of councils, of theologians have pondered carefully every facet of our faith in order to explain it and to defend it. So even if you yourself don't know what the answer to a difficult question is, you can be sure that someone infinitely smarter than either you or me has already figured it out. We have a sorrow with Blessed Mother over the lack of faith in so many people today. Nevertheless, coupled with that is a rejoicing and a gratitude for the gift of faith that we have been privileged to receive, to preserve, and to pass on, as even in the parking lot of Kenwood Town Center. Pull a sword out of your mother's heart today by asking her to put a firmer faith in your own. Thou alone, O Virgin Mary, hast crushed all heresies in all the earth. God bless you.